After 11 years in power and a five-week campaign, yesterday's federal election in Canada has come down to more math for the governing Liberal Party. In a parliament with 308 seats up for grabs, the Liberals won the most, but only 135. So instead of the absolute majority they've enjoyed since 1993, the Liberals are looking to limp along with a little help from their friends. And that could mean an unusual degree of influence for Canada's smaller political parties. If you have a question about the Canadian elections results, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or you can email us, TOTN@NPR.org. Here to help us sort out various combinations and permutations involved with the four political parties in the Canadian election is Edward Greenspan. He's editor-in-chief of the Toronto Globe and Mail. Thanks very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you, Neil.
So walk us through the numbers here. Four parties in the federal elections. How many seats did each win?
Well, the Liberals won 135 seats. Now, there's 300 seats in the Commons, so there's 155 required for majority. So they're 20 short of a majority. The closest party to them in some ideological terms would be the New Democratic Party, but they only won 19. So combined, they're still one seat short. The Conservatives, who are the main opposition party, are now at 99 seats. Now, there may be a few recounts, but that's how it is at the moment. And the Bloc Québécois Party, which is essentially a separatist party from Quebec that runs on the federal level, a sort of weird Canadian innovation, won 54 seats, 54 of the 75 in Quebec. So they've won the vast majority of seats in Quebec, and then there's one independent who's going to be a very powerful man.
Well, we're just seeing news coming across the wire services that Prime Minister, Paul Martin, says this is going to be a stable government. How can that be?
Well, I think it's possible for it to be stable because for a couple of reasons. One, no party wants to pull the plug again. The electorate would be very angry at any party that forced an election right away, and that party would probably be punished. Secondly, the Bloc Québécois, the big party out of Quebec, did as well as it's ever done in an election, so they have no desire to call an election in the short term or to try to force one to happen. And in past, with shifting coalitions, you know, if he wanted to do some missile defense legislation, he might do it with the Conservatives on the right. If he wants to do health care spending legislation or same-sex marriage issues, he could do that with the New Democrats on the left. And the Bloc Québécois also tends to be a bit to the left side of the political spectrum. So Liberals are in the middle, and they can toggle either way. And we have had a history in Canada. This is our ninth minority government in the history of the country. Generally, they tend to last 1 to 2 years. We have we had a very productive one in the 1960s, which Prime Minister Martin's father was a part of, which lasted for 3 years and passed a great deal of important legislation that stands today. So, you know, it can be done. It takes a lot of skill, but it can be done.
Well, it seems like you're talking about sort of a coalition a la carte rather than a formal alliance between some of these parties.
Absolutely. Coalition a la carte is very nice, actually. You shift with the issue you're going with. You probably, you know, they're probably going to govern a bit more from the left than they would have otherwise, which will give them a kind of happy home, mostly with the New Democrats. I mean, Mr. Martin campaigned on a daycare initiative. He campaigned on more money for health care, which all parties, by the way, campaigned on. So, you know, he fits in with that mold, but he's also a fiscal conservative, a real live fiscal conservative, which there aren't very many left in the world. So he's sort of like, you know, he's a Democrat in U.S. terms, and he's going to probably govern towards the left of the Democratic Party. But on fiscal matters, he tends to be, I think the driest leader in any of the G8 countries. Canada's the only country running a surplus in the G8 at the moment.
Tell us a little bit about the New Democratic Party, the NDP. You've described them as being a little bit further to the left than the Liberals.
Yeah, the NDP is kind of Canada's answer to I guess the Labour Party of Britain or most of the social democratic parties in Europe. It's been around in one form or another since the 1930s. It's had seats in Parliament for many years since after the Second World War. It has governed in provinces in Canada. It's governed at various times in four of Canada's provinces, and currently is the government in Manitoba and Saskatchewan. But it's never governed on the federal level. It's never seen been seen as a credible enough party. It's acted over historically sort of as a bit of a conscience of Parliament, and it's pushed legislation at times when it has held a balance of power in Parliament, more progressive social type of legislation, and so it, you know, kind of sees itself as an influence rather than a power, if you will, and its influence would have been a little bit greater with four or five
more seats.
The kinds of things that it will try to push on this government is it will, you know, try to push them to not be involved in national missile defense with the United States. I don't know if they'll succeed on that issue. And it will try, the New Democratic Party would obviously like to move to a different political system in Canada, a more proportional representation system, because then their 15 or 16% of the vote would produce 15 or 16% of the seats, and now they get about 4 or 5% of the seats in our first-past-the-post type of system. So they'll be pushing that issue as well pretty heavily.
Now, the leader of the New Democrats is a longtime Toronto city councillor, but a man with no experience in Parliament. He's now supposedly a kingmaker?
Well, he's a kind of, I don't know, he's a prince maker or something. He's not quite up to kings, maybe a duke maker, because he doesn't quite have enough to do it. But yeah, he took his party. His party has done very poorly in 1993, 97, and 2000 elections. And again, in a way, although they did better this time, they won about 5 or 6 or 7 more seats than they have in recent years. It's not like their great days. They're, you know, less than half of the seats that they had in the 1988 election, for instance. So he's not going to exercise that much influence. And indeed, this was a very disappointing result for the New Democrats and Jack Layton, their leader, because what the Liberals did in the late stages of this campaign is they're running against a very conservative opposition leader, Stephen Harper, who's much more in a Republican, neoconservative mold, and Canada's a country that's more liberal than it is conservative vis-a-vis the United States. And so what they did was they kind of said, don't vote NDP, the Liberals, because you might accidentally elect Stephen Harper as Prime Minister. And they got to move a lot of New Democratic supporters over to the Liberal side in the last 3 or 4 days of the election campaign, which is what put them over the top and squeezed the NDP down a bit.
Yet disappointment. Yet they doubled their vote. I mean,
they've increased their vote substantially, but not nearly as well as it looked, as much as they hoped, and they, you know, just a little short on having that lever of the balance of power. So they'll have more influence than they had last time. Jack Layton went up, but you know it's an expectations game, right? And he certainly expected to go up a lot more than he did.
We're speaking with Edward Greenspan, the editor-in-chief of the Toronto Globe and Mail, about yesterday's election results in Canada. Let's get a listener on the line. Lyndon is with us from Halleck, Minnesota.
Yes, hello.
Hello there.
I really enjoyed the program today very much.
Thank you.
I watch Canadian TV. I live very close to the border, just 10 miles, really. And, in fact, my part of Minnesota gets our media from North Dakota, and not from Minnesota except for public radio, really. And I was wondering, I noticed that the provinces have elections at different times, and Manitoba has this New Democratic Party. But I know the rural communities just north of the border here vote conservative, and I noticed that, say, in North Dakota, my neighbors there send Democrats to Washington, but the state is dominated by Republicans. And I wondered if Canadians like divided government, too.
Well, it's an interesting question. I mean, Canadians have historically, particularly in the province of Ontario, what they call the balance theory of confederation, that they vote for a different party provincially than they do federally. And usually when a party has been in power a long time federally, its provincial counterparts decline. In Manitoba, the NDP, you know, does okay in the cities, and the NDP is now increasingly under this leader Jack Layton becoming an urban party. It won no seats, for instance, in Saskatchewan, which is its birthplace, last night. And the province, voted conservative, as you say, in those rural areas. It always does. I mean, the southern Manitoba, which is bordering you in Minnesota, there is a very conservative part of the country. And the New Democrats tend to be stronger in Winnipeg and Vancouver, Toronto, those centers.
Lyndon, thanks very much.
Okay.
Just one quick question. Paul Martin waited for a long time to take over from Jean Chrétien as the leader of the Liberal Party and now led them into this election. And we didn't lose, but he lost a lot.
Yeah, no, it's a very, very mixed result for Paul Martin. I mean, he came on and everybody had invested a lot of hope in him. He'd been the heir apparent for a long time, an extremely popular politician. 6 months ago, people would have said that he was going to win over 200 seats. It was going to be a smashing majority victory. The country was well behind him, and then there was this scandal that broke in Canada that dates back to Chrétien's regime, where money was given to ad firms in Quebec for no apparent work done in return for it. It's been a
and maybe 2 weeks ago, it looked like the Conservatives were going to
win. Scandal, yeah. But then and then he called the election. I mean, it was his prerogative in Canada when he would call the election. He didn't have to call an election now, but they thought they could squeak through, and I think they misjudged the anger in the country, and he went really down. It looked like the Conservatives were going to win. So, again, you know, I think he felt relieved last night. I think he feels like he whistled past the graveyard, but this was not the result that Paul Martin was supposed to have. Paul Martin was going to have the greatest victory ever, and he was going to have a greater victory than his arch nemesis, Jean Chrétien,
Edward,
the previous prime minister, but he did not.
Edward Greenspan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Edward Greenspan, editor-in-chief of Toronto's Globe and Mail newspaper. He joined us from Toronto. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.